Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Jim Stanley and Abe Hamilton. Abe, we're thankful for all those who called the last hour on Miracle Monday. Wow, just one story after another. Man. God is real, and he still works miracles in people's lives.
Yes, he does.
Amen, Jim?
Yes, sir. He absolutely does.
And by miracles, we mean supernatural acts that can only be explained by the hand of God. Folks, maybe you're listening to this program or this network, and you're wondering whether God is real or not. Maybe you're a skeptic, atheist, agnostic. Abe, what proof do we have that
God exists?
Yeah.
Well, as Romans 1 says, that the things that can be seen by the invisible God are made plain by what can be seen. So we have first the evidence of what is around us. I mean, Jim alluded to earlier the miracle of childbirth. You have the presence of people discussing miracles, but I would say even the very presence of the scripture itself is a miracle.
Right.
That we have the most authenticated and verifiable book from antiquity passed down to us through multiple generations, through miraculous times, the diaspora, and we have the intact, verifiable word of God. You know, it is internally consistent. It is externally verified. There's a saying I refer to. Over 25,000 archaeological digs have been conducted in reference to the scriptures. Initially, the digs were conducted to try to invalidate the scriptures,
right.
Thousands of them.
Right.
Then, after coming up missing, they then said, well, maybe we should dig according to where this book says we can know what we can expect to find. And just as sure as the scripture says, we have the scriptures verified by internal witnesses, external witnesses, archaeological evidence. And so...
All that is true, and that is so important. And Josh McDowell wrote on this in several of his books, as Lee Strobel, and others. Head knowledge, intellectual knowledge, the Romans 1, what we see around us. And then we have the testimony of changed lives.
That's right.
Yep.
You know, we have the testimony of changed lives. So God is real. He exists. He is a personal God. He's not a distant God. He is a personal God. So the God of the Bible is real, and he wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants you to follow him, and through his son, Jesus Christ, follow him into eternity. God created you for a purpose and a reason, and then we'll all live our lives, and one day we'll die. And when we die, we either go to heaven or hell.
Right.
The Bible says. And Jesus came to redeem us from hell.
Amen.
And from the consequences of our sin.
Yes, he did.
That's what the good news is. That's what that means. So if you ever hear somebody say the gospel, it means the good news. The good news is that God loves us, cares about us, and wants us to obey him, follow him. But he doesn't make us robots. Mm-hmm. God gives us free will to choose whether we're going to follow him or not.
Right.
And so if you are hearing me talk today about this, you're accountable for what you just heard me say. I'm speaking... I'm speaking the truth as God has revealed it in his word, Abe, am I not?
You're speaking the truth.
As God has revealed it in his word. His word, God's word, Jim, is the Holy Bible.
Yes, right. Sir. That's right.
So we're here to tell you the truth. You're listening to this program, you can have hope for your life, meaning and purpose for your life, knowing that God cares about you as an individual and is calling you to live for him and calling all of us to live for him. And I want to encourage you today to read one book in the Bible. That's all I'm asking you to do. read one book in the Bible, and that's John. So, amen. Like, go to the New Testament. Book. For those who've never read the Bible before, even though you don't like the Bible, maybe you don't like the Bible and you never even read it, huh? How about that? Some of you fall into that category. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that's the four books in the New Testament. Gospel. Right, the fourth gospel. So just read John. What did it take them, a couple hours?
Oh, it won't even take that long.
An hour and a half, 90, you know, something like that. So would you at least give Christianity a chance? What, give 60 when your eternity may hang in the balance?
And what do you have to lose? Look, if Tim's wrong, if Jim's wrong, if I'm wrong, what do you have to lose?
Right.
But if we're right and you're wrong, you have eternity to lose.
Right. And that, folks, is, you know, I just can't conceive of eternity being lost. You know, just when one dies and we step from here to eternity, either way, you know, we either step to the presence of the Lord or we wind up in eternal punishment. And that's almost inconceivable. And I think that's one of the reasons that man is the way they are, is because certainly a loving God wouldn't send us to hell. You're right. A loving God doesn't. A loving God provided his son, as Tim said, for the sacrifice for our sins. And I can hear Abe going, and I don't want to get started preaching, and I don't want but it's easily done.
I'll hold back.
It's easily done because it's such a great gospel, Tim. And the book of John, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God.
Amen. So. Yeah, just read the book of John and pray and make up your mind after that, but at least give Christianity a chance if you're a skeptic or a atheist. As Abe said, you know, you look around at the world, at nature, to believe that this all came from random chance is, that's not logical.
Right.
Okay, that's not rational. And many atheists and agnostics, they say they want to, they live by rationality and logic and reason, and so do Christians. But you can't tell me, well, you can tell me, but it's irrational to believe that the things that were created in this universe came from nothing.
Right.
You have to believe something came from nothing. All this organization that we see in the world today, you know, it was interesting to me. I read we didn't know where this was going, and we don't know where it's going to end, except it'll have to end in 20 minutes, this discussion here. But I just felt the need to tell people about the gospel message here.
Tim, you know, that is a great way to spend 20 minutes.
Amen.
Because when you provide someone with the gospel, and folks, even as Tim said, if you're agnostic, if you're atheist, and you just happen to be listening, the worst that will happen is you'll understand a little bit better of where we're coming from.
Right, exactly. I wanted to mention, I was reading Darwin, Charles Darwin, The Origin of the Species. I think that's the name of it. It's been a few years. Well, not too long.
That's part of the name.
Okay, what?
The Origin of the Species by Means of Natural Selection and the Preservation of Favored Races.
Well, see, this is Miracle Monday, and it would be a miracle if Tim could ever remember a book with that long a title. But I do know Origin of the Species, okay, by Charles Darwin. But anyway, in the book there, which is the famous book that people base Darwinian evolution on, if I remember correctly, Charles Darwin he gets to the explanation of the human eye.
Right. Come on.
And he basically says, I'm paraphrasing, somebody believes in a supernatural being because of the complexities of the human eye, I can understand that.
Yes.
Have I got that right?
You have it right. He said the eye would keep him awake at night.
Yeah.
Right, but wondering.
Because it could not fit in his theory concerning evolution. Because every detail of it had to exist simultaneously in order for it to operate.
That's Charles Darwin.
That's Charles Darwin saying that. You know, which, I mean, he himself didn't deify his theory. He recognized this is a theory that I'm coming up with. But the eye, just as you said, if you look into the complexities of the human eye, I could see why somebody would believe in a supernatural creator. That's exactly what he said.
That's what Charles Darwin said. So I bring that up to tell you this, if you're a skeptic or an agnostic or an atheist, Charles Darwin was right. You can't have the human eye by random chance or evolution. Why? Right. Because God made us. God made humankind just like Genesis says so. Mm. My dad used to say it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does believe in God.
Right. That's right.
It does.
Yeah.
And you know, when sometimes atheists and agnostics say that, you know, can you believe the Bible is written by men? You know, you have blind faith. And I say, well, wait a minute. Everything you believe is based on something written by men too. So the question is, whose faith is more reasonable?
Right.
Which is more reasonable?
You know, and as we were talking about evidence for the scriptures a moment ago, and you were talking about archaeological sites, let's not forget about fossils, marine fossils found in the mountaintops. You know, you want to talk about evidence for the flood? Well, let's find a whale, you know, up in the Andes. Let's find some sea creatures up in the Himalayas.
You mean talking about the worldwide flood that the Bible talks about?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, as Abe said, you're right, Jim, and as Abe said here, I would encourage you, you know, for agnostics, for atheists, a lot of times it's, I don't believe in God and I hate him.
Yeah.
So a lot of times atheists aren't really atheists. They're people who are angry about something that's happened in their lives that is hurtful, and they feel like God didn't do anything to help them in that situation. And so they just decide that God doesn't exist because he didn't move in a way that they think that he should have. And so I would just say, I would appeal to that person. You know, there's sin in the world. There's wrongdoing in the world. There's there's what the Bible calls a fallen human nature. And all of us are subject to it, whether we cause it, whether we choose to disobey God ourselves and bring pain upon ourselves, or whether somebody acts out against us to bring suffering or pain or wrongdoing that we experience, we shouldn't turn our anger towards God.
Right.
We should turn our faith towards God, because God says, you know, in this world we're going to experience some bad things.
Yeah.
Now, but be encouraged. I'm paraphrasing here again. You know,
John 16.
That God is in control.
Yep.
And the thing that matters ultimately is that when, you know, we're here on earth a short time, but however you measure it, you know, but we're going to be living in eternity forever.
Right.
So that's the destination that we all want is eternity with God and the saints in a place called heaven. And that's what God promises for those who will repent of their sin, turn to Jesus Christ and follow him. Mm-hmm. And the best way I know to encourage you to do that is to, if you're a doubter or a skeptic or you've been running from God, is to go to the Gospel of John and read it today. Give it an hour, 90 minutes of your life. I want to talk about something else now. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I was watching with interest over the weekend the aftermath of Dallas with the shootings of the five.
Well, there were actually
12 people shot, 5 deceased.
Okay. The police officers there.
12 officers shot.
Yeah.
Several things that struck me about, I watched the interview with, it was on CNN with Jake Tapper. Is that the reporter's name?
Yes.
On CNN?
Yes.
Didn't he used to be with ABC?
He was with Fox before.
Fox.
Jake Tapper did?
Uh-huh.
Huh. Anyway, he was. It was a exclusive interview he did with the police chief of Dallas, David Brown. Now, I've already been impressed with him since I first saw him on Thursday night.
Oh, yeah, and then Friday morning. Gosh.
And I thought, man, this guy's impressive. And he was in command every time he was before the press, and very wise in his choice of words that he used, but also was keeping the public informed of what was going on. And then it was a one-on-one interview. It was about 15 minutes into the interview, I guess. And Jake Tapper was trying to find out what made him tick, what made the police chief, you know, what made his motor run.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I don't really want to talk about myself, because that's not why, you know, I'm not here to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want any glory coming to me or attention to me, because I'm just basically doing my job. He was very humble about it. But he did say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. He said it like that.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian. And what he was saying was, this is where I get my, this is what drives me.
Yeah.
This is my strength. This is where I'm, and you can, you know, my wife has a great way of, she can watch somebody for just a few minutes on TV and she could say, he's a Christian, or she's a believer. She can, and almost inevitably,
it comes out.
It comes out. Even if they don't say it explicitly. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Why do you think that is, Abe?
Well, I think although we're all individuals, nobody is identical. There are certain common features that all Christians share, you know, especially.
We can spot in one another?
That you can identify. You know, you when you have experience with being confronted with your sin and the complete wreck you make of your life without Christ.
Yeah.
And then to have the redeeming blood of Jesus transform you. You can identify the evidence or the remnants of that in other people. Like you can see, for example, in this situation with the police chief going through this traumatic, you know, historic event. It hadn't been a murderous event like this with police officers
in our country's history
almost, you know. But for him to be able to navigate it with the type of resolve and clarity of conviction,
yeah,
it's something that shows that he depends on a source that supersedes himself.
And that's why I'd said, you know, even on Friday morning when he was exhausted, he had been up all night, but he was there at 7:30 that morning, mm-hmm, along with the mayor to give the public an update. And he did so, as you said, very clear, very mm-hmm concise. But, you know, and he had a press conference again today. And one of the things he said is, said he was running on fumes. He spoke frankly about everything that his employees have to deal with on a daily basis, and that can be overwhelming at times. So he's considering mandatory counseling mm-hmm for the officers. He goes on to say that every societal failure, we put it off on the cops to solve. He listed many mental health, drug addiction, loose dogs, failing schools as problems the public expects cops to solve. And he said 70.
You're quoting him.
I'm quoting him. Yes, sir.
David Brown, the police chief of Dallas.
And he said 70% of the African American community is being raised by single women. Let's give it to the cops to solve that as well, said Brown. Policing was never meant to solve those problems. Yes, sir.
Today?
Yes, sir. Just this morning, just a little bit ago.
Wait, go back up there. Scroll back up there.
Okay.
They're looking through it. And him identifying that, I want to give you time to get to what you want to say.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It's something that you don't hear coming out in popular media narratives nor in elected officials.
Right.
So for an individual to zoom in right on the reality of the systematic degradation of the family,
mm-hmm,
and its manifestations in black communities and other communities, that's something that people without Christ have been unwilling to acknowledge publicly.
Here's one of the best parts of his interview today.
This is awesome stuff. I already had great admiration for this fella. Where are you reading this, Jim?
I am reading
this. How did you pull this up?
This is at the local CBSDFW.com.
Okay.
CBSDFW.com. And that's the local CBS
station.
This is
an interview with the chief of police,
yes, sir.
David Brown.
And here is the, you know, all of this
I didn't
has
know
been
you
good.
Were going to bring this up. I just know I saw him and he said, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
And I was asking Abe, and you could tell.
Right.
Listen to him. That there's something holding him up.
And listen to what he said. When asked what advice he would give black men, Chief Brown said, become a part of the solution. Serve your community. Don't be a part of the problem. We're hiring. Get off that protest line and put an application in. We'll put you in your neighborhood. We'll help you resolve some of the problems that you're protesting about. And I mean, you know,
wow.
That would be one of those
is that a wow
mic drop yes. moments.
That.
Scroll back up there. Let me
I'll
see
be
what
happy
he started
to. Yes,
at,
sir.
What
that
he
is
said.
Impressive.
He said, yeah, he said, we are all worried for our safety. Again, we're quoting the, what do we got, 3 minutes here left
yes, sir.
Here?
Yeah.
This must have been a press conference he held this morning.
Yeah, it was on just at the start of today's issues.
Okay, this is the Dallas Police Chief, David Brown. We are all worried for our safety. We're all on edge, and we're being very careful. He's talking about his officers, I would suspect, his department.
Yeah, right.
His department. And then he said he was running on fumes. I can imagine that. I'm surprised he's even out there. Brown spoke frankly about everything from his employees have had to deal with on a daily basis. Keep on scrolling down. And then he says we're asking cops to do too much in this country.
Yep.
Every societal failure we put on the cops to solve, he said. He listed mental health, drug addiction. Isn't this the truth, what he's talking about? Cops
absolutely.
Have to, you know, you call the cops for all this stuff. Failing schools, loose dogs, problems in the public expects cops can solve. And then he said 70% of the African-American community is being raised by single women. Let's give it to the cops to solve that as well. He just policing was never meant to solve all those problems. The man speaks the truth, and Abe, we've talked about this before. I don't care what society it is, black, white, Hispanic, Asian. If you have the breakdown of the family,
It's over.
It's over. And so what you're going to have in the African American community is a restoration of the black family. And that's I think that's what he's
absolutely what he, and I think it
but
applies,
it's going to have to come from within the black community.
It is, and I think this applies to the American society as a whole.
Amen.
But you have a heightened manifestation, honestly, in the black community, and you see this where there's an absence of fathers in the home. You see a direct link to criminality.
Yeah,
that's a generalization, but that's a true generalization. You are going to have some cases where single parent mothers are able to raise great children. That's the exception, but the broad generalization is true that if you have the breakdown of the family, you're going to have more crime, kids getting involved in gangs, dropping out of schools, poverty. All those things are directly related to that.
Think about the economy right now and the way that single moms are having to work. They're not able to take care of their kids the way they want to.
Also, you notice that it's not the young black women who are in trouble with the law.
Right.
Either.
You
notice that?
Yes.
If this were completely a racial issue, you would think it'd be see more black women involved in trouble with the law. You don't see that.
They're too busy working.
Well, let's pray for the police chief.
Chief Brown. Amen. Chief Brown.
Chief Brown, as he continues to give leadership in the city of Dallas and nationally. Have a great day, everybody. Keep listening to American Family Radio.